This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Jesus, as a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. Often you weep over our sins and our pride. Tenderly, you draw us from hatred and judgment. You comfort us in sorrow and bind up our wounds. In sickness, you nurse us, and with pure milk, you feed us. Jesus, by your dying, we are born to new life. By your anguish and labor, we come forth in joy. Amen. Good morning. I think many times we would like to think that this wonderful revelation that we have about God having maternal, motherly instincts and characters as well as fatherly, paternal instincts is something new that we sort of came up with in our New Age spirituality. And I hate to tell you, but we don't get the credit for it. As that prayer I just read was written by St. Anselm of Canterbury in the early years of the church. And of course, as we look at the gospel today, Jesus himself uses that metaphor, comparing and listing himself as the mother hen. You might recall, those of you who go back in our church history of St. Joseph some years, a very wonderful sermon some years ago that Bishop Leo Friday was here on this particular Sunday in Lent and preached a wonderful sermon about the feminine aspects of God. It's a wonderful metaphor. Now, what I would say is all metaphors fall short. Because whenever we are trying to get at the divine reality, something that expresses that which is limitless, all we as human beings have are our limited human experience. And so any analogy, any simile, any metaphor, any comparison that we give is not going to capture the whole thing. And so we come at it from different ways. And this motherly way of looking at it is an important one, but it's not the only way. And what I always like to say when we talk about these things is, if you have been blessed with having or have had a mother who imaged for you that metaphor in a positive way, multiply it by infinity, and that is how much God loves you. If, on the other hand, you had or have a mother who didn't for you image that human love in a way you would have liked to receive it, think of the ideal way in which you would have wanted to have a relationship with your mother. And multiply that by infinity, and that is how much God loves you. Motherly love is an incredible way to look at the way God loves us. My own metaphor, my own simile or comparison goes back to growing up. And every Sunday night, we would be told by my parents that you have to remember to take all of your dirty clothes and throw them down the laundry chute. Now, it was magic. Sunday night, you threw all this cruddy, dirty stuff down the laundry chute. You came home Monday afternoon from school, and magically, all your shirts were cleaned and pressed and hanging in the closet, your pants the same way. All your dirty underwear and t-shirts and everything else was cleaned and folded neatly in your chest of drawers. magic. We all know who did that. It was my own mother hen. Now, that image of faithful service doesn't capture everything by analogy the way Jesus is with us, but it certainly gets at that aspect of it, of faithfulness and love and servanthood. Now we come to the gospel today. Those of you who were blessed to have been in the Holy Land at some point, whether it was on our pilgrimage last year during Lent or some other time, will recall that there is a church there by the name of Dominus Flavit. It looks like this. Dominus Flavit. Latin for the Lord wept or the Lord cried. The church itself is intentionally built in the shape of a teardrop because it is a direct reference to the situation that this gospel refers to when Jesus looks upon Jerusalem and he cries. If you go to the next slide, you see that behind the altar, the viewpoint from that hill that overlooks the Kidron Valley over to Jerusalem, this is the view that Jesus would have had overlooking the temple. The next slide, you see our tour guide Ramon outside overlooking and looking at Jerusalem as Jesus would have. Next one, there's our group, those who were there last year with us. Next slide. And there is the way in which you have to walk, if you were to walk over to the other side. And those who did it will remember that steep climb down where we were hanging on to each other to keep each other from falling over. And then the next slide. Now, in that church, there is this beautiful mosaic. And this beautiful mosaic is the mother hen with the chicks gathered under its wing, a direct reference to what Jesus talks about in the gospel today, a metaphor to protect, to look after. Now, if you look at that slide, and here's a real-life one off of the web, looks very similar, does it not? It is what we experience in nature. It's a metaphor we can relate to. The next one? Next one? Now, this might just look like a big fat hen, but look down at the bottom, and there's lots of extra feet. The chicks are gathered underneath mom for protection. Now, I have a few videos that show the same kind of a thing, and we're going to let those run as I continue to talk, and we might want to mute the sound so the cackling of the roosters won't overcome my voice. To protect, this is what Jesus wishes to do. There is all kinds of protection that God wants to do, but it's all about God's plan, not mine. I don't know if you noticed, but in the reading from Genesis that we heard today, there are some verses that are skipped. Now, for me, as I've told you before, whenever we skip verses in the lectionary, I always go straight to those verses because why on earth did we skip them? They're considered to be the inspired word of God. What's the deal? Well, with this story in Genesis, there is a promise that God makes, but the promise does not get fulfilled for over 400 years. And it is believed that there was a later scripture writer who inserted these lines into Genesis to sort of explain why it took God so long to do what God was going to do. Then the Lord told Abram, this is what we didn't hear today, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, and they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. But you will die in peace at a ripe old age. After four generations, your descendants will return here to this land, where the sin of the Amorites has run its course. Trying to explain. Our God, who wants to protect us, has a plan. And the metaphor, as mother hen and we as the chicks, is a willingness for us to gather under his wings and let him lead us. Great metaphor. Now, there's a metaphor that we dealt with this week. If you were in the small group series of our Alternative Orthodoxy with Richard Rohr, we talked about the metaphor that we often use for the word atonement. Atonement is a fancy way of trying to come to terms with why Jesus became a man. Now, throughout history, we've tried to deal with this, and it has led to theological warfare. It has led to denominations splitting. If you believe that this is what's important and this isn't, you're out. And no, I believe on this side that this is important, and so this has got to go out. And as a result, we have all these different things from Calvinism to New Age with people who say, this is why Jesus became a man. Well, the important point is this. They're all metaphors. They are all comparisons, and not one is going to totally capture it totally and completely. If you want to understand some of these atonement metaphors, look through our prayer book. Read the Rite One Eucharistic prayers or the offertory statements that we have in our prayer book, which for the most part, by the way, are scripture. They're right out of the Bible. And they all try to capture different ways of looking at that metaphor. If we go to that next slide, this is something that I gave to our Wednesday night small group. And this is a grid that just talks about some of those metaphors that exist in the Bible. Do you know there are over 200 references to atonement, the reason why Jesus became a man in the New Testament alone? And they all try to capture different ways, but they don't all capture them completely by themselves. And as good Anglicans, we always need to remember that with most things, it is never either or, it is both and. Did Jesus die on the cross to forgive the sins of the world? Yeah, that's a metaphor, but it doesn't capture everything. As St. Paul says, did he give his life as a ransom for many? Yes, but if that was it alone, it kind of makes God sort of this kidnapper. It captures a part of it, but not all of it. So what this small group series is trying to capture for us is that we have to have a bigger picture of why Jesus became a man. You know, if we just want to concentrate on those 3 hours that he was suffering and dying for us on the cross, boy, do we miss a lot. And that dying on the cross becomes the fulfillment of everything that God had in mind to protect us and to love us through all eternity. That this Jesus, who existed from the beginning of time, will exist to the end of time. And so, equally important, why did Jesus become a man at the incarnation? To show us how much God loved us, so that he could be the moral example to us as he continued to live and to fight the devil with temptation, so that he gave us an example, and then he brings the disciples into the picture, and he teaches them and leads them, and he continues to cure and to heal and give us an example, and he goes to the Mount of Transfiguration because he hears the voice of God confirming that what he's doing with his life is the right thing, and it comes to completion in what happens on the cross. And there's metaphors of atonement for each one of those along the way. They're all important. But the important thing for us is, as Rohr points out in his series, Jesus, our mother hen, wants us to be transformed. it's not just about some silly transaction that took place. It's about our total transformation throughout our life. Paul says it today, our citizenship is in heaven. And that citizenship is meant to be experienced now if we are willing to put ourselves under the wings of our mother hen God who loves us and wants to protect us. We are honoring today those of you who have reached the ripe age of 80 years and beyond. We call it the Young at Heart celebration. I actually like the older way. When I get to 80, I'm going to wear it proudly. I hope you do too. But you should know that you are a metaphor for us. You continue to show to us through your faithfulness, through your service, through your love, you give us an example and a comparison of how much we are loved by God. And we thank you for that. But there's one other metaphor that this brings us to. With that image of Jesus, picture him looking over that city of Jerusalem. He sees the beauty of that panorama, that incredible temple. And he knows that in a couple decades after he's gone, the temple's going to be reduced to rubble as well. He knows that when he crosses that valley and goes to Jerusalem, what is going to mean for his life and death? It becomes that symbol of all that we are fearful of facing, but if we understand that we are under God's protection as our mother hen for all eternity, because Jesus became a man to show us that, we are going to be able to do it. One of my favorite writers that I quote here often is William Dawes. And he reflects on this particular reading in a way I go back to every time I hear this gospel. If we use this as a metaphor of Jerusalem representing those things in my particular life that are hard for me to face, but I need to face them, because if I don't, my life is stagnated. This is what he writes. Jerusalem is that part of each of our lives or place in our souls where life is stopped and we are stuck and the relationship or dream or hope or promise cannot move on. Jerusalem is where hard work awaits each of us. Jerusalem is the walled city we circle monotonously before we find the courage or folly to move from silent safety to speaking words of truth to the other, which may be expressions of hurt and anguish, disappointment and despair, but can also be words of intimacy and affection. Jerusalem is the next chapter in any relationship. It can also be the next step in the job or career, the next move toward using the talent you have and the gift you possess and simply being the person you are. Jerusalem is the place we spend all our energy avoiding, even though it is the only place in the world that can save, heal, renew our lives. Jerusalem is where people like us are invited to face fears and let go of the second best that barely feeds us. Jerusalem is to follow Jesus, to die, be reborn, and live again. Jerusalem is about choice. It's about staying in Galilee where you can fake it and survive and be applauded for less and die in bed. Or it is about going to Jerusalem where some part of you will die for the sake of more life. It's a choice we do not make gladly or happily. For many of us, it usually requires being cornered. But even when there is no other exit, we can be stubborn enough, vain enough, arrogant enough, scared enough to stay wandering about outside. Jesus calls us as our mother hen to be willing to tackle it. Whatever the Jerusalem might be in life for you right now, remember that wonderful metaphor that our mother hen is there to protect us and will never leave us to face our perils alone. When I went back home for my aunt's funeral, when I was leaving early Monday morning, I asked Mom on Sunday night, "I'll strip the beds. What do you want me to do with the sheets?" My 90-year-old mother, two words, laundry chute. Our mother hen is our metaphor. If you've been loved, multiply it by infinity. That's how much he wants to protect and to love you. Amen.